The purpose is to just kind of set the stage for the malachos. So we begin with the question of the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel, which tells us there are avos malachos arboim chasar achas. There are 39 avos malachos. So the first thing that is interesting to think about is the fact that it's 40 minus 1. So how do we come up with that number? So there is one other place that's very well known where you have 40 minus 1, which is Malkus. So interesting, sometimes referred to the Koach of Chazal in that they were able to take the number 40, because it says in the Pasuk Arboim Yakenu, and yet they reduced it to 39 based on the Koach of Torah Shebaal Peh. So in a certain sense, when it comes to Malachas Shabbos, perhaps there's a reference here to the Koach of Chazal and Torah Shebaal Peh, because if you look in the Chumash, there aren't many references to figuring out what are the Malachas of Shabbos. You need to rely on the Torah Shebaal Peh. So maybe there's like a little Torah Shebaal Peh drush, homiletic reference here in the Arboim Chasar Achas that Chazal are going to tell us what it is. Now the Ikar Limud is going to have to do with the Mishkan, the things that were learned in the Mishkan. So the Mechilta in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel tells us that we are going to create a connection between Shabbos and Mishkan because of the juxtaposition. And this concept of learning Shabbos from Mishkan is picked up in Rashi and Tosfos many, many times, but perhaps it's stated most clearly in the Mishkan. So the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us, that there are 39 avos malachos, 39 avos main categories of work. Where do we learn the fact that there are 39 from? So the Gemara gave us several options. Earlier on Mem Testament Beis, the Gemara presented two deos. One day was from the number of times in the Chumash that the word malacha or maleches or malachto, depending on Yisir Rabbeinu Chananel there, he came up with 61 and then he diminished the number by cutting it back several. You look in the concordancia, you come up with a lot more. So you see there in the Gemara Memtes, there are different girsos of how to exactly work out the number 39, but again, using Torah Shebaal Peh, they must have understood that they must have known, otherwise they wouldn't have said it, and they did the exercise, the Gemara says, like many times, like how they did experiments. When we learned Psachim, we had a discussion, Shechter likes to quote this Yerushalmi, we have a rule that rice doesn't become chametz. It might be kineas, that's a minig, it's not chametz. Why? Because there's machlokas, we saw it last year in Brachos about Orez V'dochan, that it's not from the Chamesh Saminim, so it's not Machmetz, it's Sirchon, it's not Chimot. So we saw last year that there is a dissenting view. So the Yerushalmi says, do an experiment. So they did. So they did an experiment. It's not that they were living in the Luft, you know, they didn't pay attention to the practical. They did an experiment, and they had an argument about what they saw. This kind of anabolic respiration type of fermentation thing, so is that called chimots or is it called zirchons? So to here, they counted. So obviously they knew how to count the numbers. Okay, so they had 39. The other opinion of the Gemara here is that it's actually learned Kenegad Avodas HaMishkan. So they must have had a tradition that there were 39 main categories that appear in the Mishkan. And the Gemara later on has another option, which is that it's learned from the word Eile on Ayin Amid Aleph, Eile hadvarim, because dvarim hadvarim, eile hadvarim, elu shiloshim v'teisha malachos, shenemer lemoshim b'sinai. So that's in the context of chiluk malachos, which is that, we'll get to in a second, that these 39 are separated. But the bottom line is, there are 39 different main categories of work. These are 39 avos malachos. Now, it's true, the Gemara does have a machlokas tanoim about some of these malachos, which ones are counted in the avos malachos, but for some reason we have a tradition that these are 39 main categories. Okay, what's the nafka mina about the fact that they're main categories? So the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Kol Gadol that if a person is aware that it's Shabbos, but isn't aware that all of these various activities are prohibited as malachos, so then that's called chiluk malachos. They're distinguished one from the other. They're distinct in their chiyuv achatos. We have a principle comes up later in the Gemara on Shabbos, that something that's zedono kares generally is shigagas ochatas. In this case, it's zedono skila if it's with edem hasra, and therefore it's shigagas ochatas. So we have a principle called chiluk malachos. So how do we know this? The Gemara in Daf Ayin Amud Aleph gives you a couple of options, three options. One is mechalaleh mos yumas, hatorah ribsa misos harbe. Another option is learned from The machlokas about havara lalav yatzas or havara lachalik yatzas. So we paskin like Reb Nosson. Reb Nosson says lachalik yatzas, so that might be a second makar for lalav or lachalik yatzas. And then the third makar the Gemara presents is the pasuk in Vayikra, va'asa me'achas mehena. Pa'amim shechayavim achas al kulan. So for those who have never seen, this sefer came out a while ago. I think it was one of the first that Rabbi Yonason Sachs published on Malachos Shabbos. It's called Chemdas Yamim. So, of course, like all of his Torah, it's awesome. And he sets out many different yesodos in Yonei Shabbos and Malachos and V'chadome. So one of the issues that he mentions is perhaps there's an afkamina between these makoros for the makor for Chiluk Malachos as to whether or not these are... what is the nature of chiluk malachos? Is it that all the malachos are one shame, and they're just gufim mechulakim? Like if a person was boel, a kohen was boel or whatever, a grusha and an ida, and all the shemos mechulakim? Or no, they're actually shemos. They're not just gufim mechulakim. A kohen was boel, a grusha, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. So then if there were yedios in between, so then... Or even if there weren't yedios in between, they're gufim mechulakim if they're different people. Or is it not difference of gufim mechulakim? It's actually shemos mechulakim. So there's a whole pilpul that this shaila of what is the makar for yedios of the chiluk malachos actually has nafkamina. It quotes from Rav Soloveitchik some nafkaminas, but that's more in lamdas. Okay, how do we decide what is an av malacha? So we say it has something to do in the Mishkan. It can't be what it says in Baba Kama. Right? Rashi in two places in the beginning of Baba Kama says that avos are that which it says in the Pasuk. In Daf Beis, I think also in Daf Dalet. Here it can't be that because none of these are written in the Pasuk. So the Gemara says, what's that? Except from Havara. So the Gemara said, it is, on Daf Tzadi Vavamid Beis, it's hach dehavi b'mishkan chashiva. So Tosas has two girsos about this. Either it's hach to have a mishkan chashiva or hach to have a mishkan vachashiva. But either way, it's somehow connected to the mishkan. So what does this mean? Either it's hach to have a mishkan, therefore it is chashiva, it is considered chashuv, it is by definition an av. Or hach to have a mishkan, Tosas says vachashiva, you have two criteria. One is that it has to be in the Mishkan. The other one, it has to be a Malacha Chashuva in the Mishkan. So it's an interesting question because for some of us, it's a little bit academic. It's hard to know. You know, we don't have a time machine to know exactly what was in the Mishkan. So some of it is kind of going back as we go through, try to figure out what's an Av. So then you have to ask yourself, well, was this thing really in the Mishkan or not? It's hard to know. Sometimes you have to go backwards. Yeah. So that's a great observation. Rav Gottstein, Shalita, for those who don't know, he's part of our Chabura, just to give some wisdom from the side, also some humor occasionally. So that perhaps, Rav Gottstein is pointing out that Hotzah is a Malacha Grua, so how could it be that it's called Chashiva? So the answer to that question might be the fact that the Gemara needs a Pasuk on Tzadi Vav Amud Beis to tell you that Hotzah is included. So Tosvos on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, I believe it's Gimel Amud Beis. Somewhere at the beginning of the Masechta, I think it's Gimel Amud Beis, but I'm not 100% sure. I have to look it up. Tosfos makes the comment that Hotzah is a Malacha Grua. But now you have a Pasuk to include it. So in Achanami, had it just been left to its own devices, you wouldn't have included it. Now that you have a Pasuk, you include it. So Rabbi Rosenzweig, when I was in the Kol HaElyon, and we learned Misha Hichshech, he gave a whole Chabura on this topic about whether or not, now that Hotzah is included, is it still called a Malacha Grua? You know, now that it's part of the club, does it just blend right in, or is it always going to be the weird guy in the corner? You know, how does it fit in? So, Lamai Nafkamina, maybe for Yantif, you know, does it transfer like all the other Malachos to Yantif? Well, if it's a Malacha, so why shouldn't it transfer to Yantif? But if it's a Malacha Grua, maybe not. Maybe it has Nafkaminas for Shvisas Behemto, because Shvisas Behemto doesn't apply every single case. There are a bunch of Pnei Yeshua discusses this. He spent like 2.5 hours discussing this question about whether or not, once you have included it through the Gzeres HaKosev, is it still called the Malacha Grua? Or no, now it's just one of the gang. So that's an interesting shaila. But getting back here, the Gemara tells us that it's either in the Mishkan and that alone establishes Chashivas, or tells us that maybe it was in the Mishkan. There were other things in the Mishkan that had to be Chashiv, but that makes it an Av. So it makes an av distinct from what? Distinct from a tolda. So what's the difference between, why do you care whether something is an av or a tolda? We'll talk about what that is in a minute. But the Gemara says it's a tolda in the machlokas, Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar. We saw this discussed also in the beginning of Baba Kama. This is Tzadivav Medbeis, whether or not you are chayav atolda b'mokom av. According to the Rabbanan, that you are not chayav atolda b'mokom av. It's very important to know what is an av and what is a tolda. According to Rabbi Elazar, who says that you are chayav atolda b'mokom av, so who cares whether it's an av, who cares whether it's a tolda? So perhaps that nafkamina is Tosus. The Gemara says this nafkamina is the hachdav in Mishkan Chashivas. The question is there any other nafkamina? Now the Gemara seems to conclude that there is no other nafkamina, so that's something we want to think about as we move along. There may be other nafkaminas. Tosus in several places. Tosus here in. Shabbos somewhere, I'm not seeing it in front of me. Tosus raises the question of maybe it is a question of Hasra. Tosus raises the suffix in the Rishon whether or not you need to be Masra told or Malkomav. And even if you don't need to be Masra told or Malkomav, if you give somebody the wrongly associated thing, wrong associated Av, so then it's gonna it's gonna think he's just joking, you know, just kidding. So therefore there would be potentially Tosus presents, maybe there's an Afkamina for Hasra. Okay. But the one thing to keep in mind, and this is maybe a little bit surprising, is that there are actually more than 39 avos malachos. We say that there are 39 avos malachos because there are 39 chatos that you can get, but there are more avos. Why do I say that? Because the Gemara on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, actually Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, says, you do many malachos, me'ein one malacha, so that is called one chiyuv chatos. So the Gemara tells you, zorea, zomer, notea, mavrich, and markiv, kulan malacha achas hein. So what are all those things? So Rashi says that, kulan malacha achas hein, de zomer nami lutzmucha ilanahu, it's for the purpose of growing the tree, v'nafka minedi, avale l'kuli bahadi zorea, lo mechayev alachada, etc. Then he says, Zorea av malacha, v'noteya nami av malacha hu. Tahainu zorea, elashezeb izroim v'zebi ilanos, v'chein mavrich u'markiv. Aval zomer tolda. Okay, this is a discussion. Yeah, reading Rashi, ayin dalet amud beis du'a maskel kulan. So, you see from this, that you're right, there are 39 avos malachos, but there are other avos that are parallel to that av. So for example, zorea is one av, and notea, planting, is another av. Well, how do you know then what's an av and what's a toldo? Well, what are toldos? Toldos are derivatives. Avos are obviously not derivatives. So the Or Sameach, in his commentary on the Rambam, in Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalid, he says, Yeshma chenichlal b'ha'av. There are certain things that are included in an av, like Zorea and Otea, they're both avos. Shesug echad. Avol yesh she'inu elo domalo b'mahus hamalacha ze mikri tolda. There are certain things that are very similar, that's an av, and then there are certain things that are similar, but not exactly similar, and that's called a tolda. That's in Hilchos Shabbos, Or Sameach Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet. And this is where he discusses, not for us right now, he discusses Tolesh, whether it's an Av or a Tolda, whatever, not for right now. But he starts already he alludes to the fact that you have to work to come up with some kind of distinction, what's called an Av and what's called a Torah. How are you marked to this? So if you look in the beginning of Mishnayos Shabbos, keep asking the Yochanan Bar's the tall Mishnah Shabbos. There is a Hakdama to Hilchos Shabbos. What's that? He tells you that. Thank you so much. Actually, no, could you pass me the new one, please? It'll be easier. He tells you that there are some things where you can have, they're called an av, and some things that are not exactly an av. But he doesn't give you a precise definition. Thank you so much. So in the beginning of the Yochanan Bar's Mishnayos, There is the Kalkelas HaShabbos. The Kalkelas HaShabbos is kind of like a general introduction to the Melachos of Shabbos. And he gives you two components of a Melacha that define an Av Melacha. Now, he gives you his definition of what is an Av and what is a Tolda could be debatable and might be against the Yerushalmi. And this Chabura is not going to cover every opinion that exists. So we're not going to, this Chabura, the way we're going to present it, is not going to follow the presentation of the Kalkelas HaShabbos of distinguishing between Avos and Toldos. But the Yesodos that he gives you are, we will follow. And that is, he says, that an Av Malacha exists because it has two definitions. One is Pu'ula, the other is Tachlis.
Is it the Mishnah?
What's that?
Who says that?
This is the Kalkelas HaShabbos in his Hakdama to Kalaloi Lamites Malachos. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Gutzni probably know this, the Kalkelas HaShabbos is authored by the Tiferes Yisrael, if I'm not mistaken. Because it doesn't say, but I think it is. So, he says, every Av Malacha has a Tachlis and a Pu'ula. It has a purpose and a function, a form and a function. What's the purpose? What's the mechanism? So, Zorea is for the purpose of making the tree grow, and the pu'ula is taking the seed, the source of the growth, and sticking it in the ground. So notea is taking a tree and sticking it in the ground and making it grow. So those are parallel avos. As opposed to a tolda, we will say, let's say at least one version of a tolda, is where it is dome betachlis, its same, its goal is the same, but its pu'ula is different. Its mechanism is different. So Rashi says, Rashi's opinion was, although this question in the Yerushalmi, Rashi's opinion is that Zomer is a Tolda. Because he says that he will say that the Pu'ula of Zriya, of planting, is when you take something and stick it in the ground, not when you take off something else. Now, is it ever possible to be Chayav for one action two malachos? So that's a discussion later on this daf, but for the pilpul of it, I believe it's Minchas Chinuch, has a beautiful ha'ara, that if you do one pu'ula that has totsos, that has an effect at two different places, then you can be chayv shtayim, like zomer v'tzorach la'itzim, you have an effect in the tree and an effect in the branch. But that's, I don't want to get too far stuck in the trees. Right, and that's what Rashi says. The Gemara didn't tell you whether they're avos and tovos. Rashi does group Markiv and Rashi groups them as avos, and that's why if you look in Meduik and Yerushalmi, I forget one of the acronyms, Meduik and Yerushalmi, that the beginning of this parak in Klal Gadol, in this Mishnah in Klal Gadol, so the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael says, one of them says, oh, I found many, many more things to extend for the malachos, the avos malachos. The other one says, oh, I also found many more derivatives. I should look at the Yerushalmi just to get the exact wording. The wording is different. So some of the Achronim say, yeah, sometimes you can find parallel avos, and sometimes you can find toldos. They're not exactly the same. Parallel avos means they're the same in the tachlis and the pu'ula, and toldos, at least initially, are going to say they're the same in the tachlis, but they're different in the pu'ula. And this, in a certain sense, is compared to the toldos that we had at the beginning of Baba Kama. The purpose of the toldos, the definition of the toldos, is the same. Right, the purpose is whatever damaging in the normal course of events. That would be, let's say, regel. So within regel, we have different toldos. Karen also, it's an unusual damage. It's mishuneh. So, what is mishuneh? So, maybe the av of Karen, if you were to call it such a thing, that's goring. But then there's also squatting and jumping and kicking, all those things. Okay, good. The one thing to keep in mind, Rav Schechter pointed out in his Chabura, that generally we say Toldoseim Kayotzebehem. Rabbi Sachs pointed to a Tosfos in Bechoros, which I don't have a good answer to. Tosfos in Bechoros seems to say that he seems to argue with him, the Shittim Kubetzas that he quoted at the beginning of Baba Kama, about whether or not in Kol Torah Kula you say that Avos are similar. So he has a whole essay about this. That's very difficult. According to Tosfos Kasha in Baba Kama, that you can't compare, that you don't generally have toldos in other places, because the discussion there is about los sugos, and whether or not pulling out the hair on the back of an animal is a violation of giza if it's a bechor. So Tosfos says, and the Gemara compares Shabbos to bechor and says, oh, tolesh is a toldo of gozes. Again, it's a further question if it's toldo of gozes or kotz or whatever it is, But the Gemara says, oh, you can learn it from Shabbos. And Tosfos says, you can't learn it from Shabbos. So, you know, that's going to be a good question, according to Tosfos. If you don't, okay, if you don't learn from Shabbos, you don't believe in Tol the same Kayotze Bahem. So, I was looking around. The Brisker Rav doesn't address this question. He just points out that when it comes to Kodshim, Giza only means Lo Sogos. It wouldn't include the Tolda of Tolesh. The question is, why not? So that'll be something interesting, just maybe even for the morning Seder, to figure out why it is that when it comes to Nezikin, we say, oh yeah, it's Pasha Tolda Sam, and Tolda Sam Kayotze Bahem. But when it comes to Kodshim, in the Gemara in Bechoros Chav Dalar Medbeis Chav Heim and Aleph, Tos is not so quick to say that. I don't know. Ein Sham. But anyway, getting back here, so we now see that there are parallel avos and that there are also toldos. And that parallel avos share tachlis and a pu'ula, and toldos, the gather of the tolda, is that it's dome b'tachlis, but it's shone b'pu'ula. Okay. It's possible, as we will see, that there's another way to create a tolda and flip it, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Okay. We mentioned before, now that we know that these ideas of avos and toldos, that there's going to be a nafkamina, number one, in terms of the chiv chatas according to the Rabbana, number two, perhaps according to Tosfos about Hasra, and then there may be a third nafkamina for the Ran that we saw in the Shmona Shratzen, for those who had a chance to see. The Ran, in the end of the 14th parak of Shabbos, makes an observation, and he suggests that in the case of, here's the case, imagine, this is my G2 low-calorie Gatorade. Imagine it was a barrel, and I had a shmata that had some, that let's say I kept the shmata inside the G2 barrel. Then when I wanted to get something to drink, I take it out. It comes out of the spigot, then I stick it back in. So the shaila is, are you allowed to stick the rag into the spigot on Shabbos? So the Ran discusses whether or not, what malacha it is, the schita, is it, what kind of malacha, is it dash, extracting, or is it malabain, is it cleaning the rag, and also whether or not you're putting the rag in on the top, or you're putting the rag in on the side. So the Ram makes the assumption, at the end of the piece, that if you take the rag and you stick it in on the side, and the liquid drops out, you're not going to be in violation, it's not going to be a problem, of it's going to be mutter to do that on Shabbos. Even though you're squeezing out the liquid from the rag. So the question is why? So he says, you know why? Because you don't want the liquid that's coming out. And therefore, it's not a problem to violate schita if you don't want the liquid that's coming out. So the question is, why is that okay? So he tells you, well, it's dome to kvashim shesachtan. It's similar to, if I have a pickle and it's very soggy, I'm allowed to squeeze it out so that the pickle will be dry, and I don't really care about the juice. So the question is, why should that be? Shouldn't it be asur midrabbanan? According to Rabbi Shimon, even though, and we'll talk about this more in a little bit, even though I'm not intending to use the juice, at the end of the day, I'm doing the malacha. So there is a sefer, this sefer, from one of my all-time heroes, amazing, amazing people, and it's called Totzos Chaim. Some of you have heard of this sefer. It's the sefer from the Gaon Rav Menachem Zemba, Hashem Yikom Tomo. Menachem Zemba was a unique person, lived before the war. He was basically adopted into the home of the Sfasemes, but he had a very strong Lithuanian education. It was a tremendous gaon. He was one of the great Rabbanim who was in Warsaw during the ghetto. And there are actually several diaries that document what he did during the ghetto. I have one of them at home. It talks about how he was responsible, the driving force behind a secret group of yeshivas that took place, that existed in bunkers and sewers during the period of Nazi persecution in the ghetto. And he used to go from sewer to sewer giving bechinas to the bachrim. And he describes, Hillel Seidman, one of the chroniclers, describes that Rabbi Nachum Zemba once, he had to move apartments very often because they were onto him and he was persecuted. He once had, for Sukkot, I think it was 1941, I forget if it was 1941 or 1942, that he was in an apartment at the top floor of a building, and he busted open the roof so that he could have a tiny sukkah that he built. And he said, describes the hundreds of people he has to came. And it's tragic is that Rabbi Nachum apparently had a humongous trove of Kisvei Yad, of Pirushim, that he had written. And there was some question about whether they can get him a visa, and he would be able to get out. and he didn't want to leave his kisvei yad. He was trying to figure out what to do. By the end, unfortunately, and when the Germans came in to liquidate, after the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, the Germans came in to liquidate, and describe here in the Hakdama that he was running from house to house in between the two houses. It was Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, because the uprising started Erev Pesach. He was gunned down by the Germans, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. And all of the Kisvei Yad were lost. All of those major, I think he had a whole work on the Rambam and a whole work, I think, also on Yerushalmi. Many, many volumes of Kisvei Yad. It was all lost. Happens to be that if you look in the Encyclopedia Judaica, now I'm going on a tangent, but at least nobody falls asleep on the tangents. It happens to be, if you look in the Encyclopedia Judaica, they quote that he gave a speech on Hanukkah in 1942 in December, giving rabbinic approval to revolt against the Germans. Unbelievable personality. So there are pictures, you can Google your picture of Menachem Zemel, the Warmkeit is just like, it shines through the pictures. Unbelievable. So he has two or three Sfarim that were published, one of like letters, I think it's called Zera, the Shalos and Tshuvas letters, I forget what it's called, Zera Avram, maybe, Shalos Tshuvas Zera Avram, I think, and then he has this Sefer which is on Hotzah, just one Sefer on Hotzah called Totzos Chaim that he published. So in the Totzos Chaim, he has a biur in this Ran. So what's the pshat in this Ran? So he says, wait a second. Schita, squeezing out, is a tolda. Why is it a tolda? What's it a tolda of? Why is it a tolda of dash? What's dash?
Extracting.
Right, extracting. Dash is, Rabbi Nochananel explains, that dash is when you take something which is connected to something else, organically, naturally, and you break off that connection. So dash is a hachana for borer. I break off the chaff from its shell, and then you separate it out. So here I'm breaking out, I'm pulling out, I'm extracting the water from the thing. But is it dome be pu'ula? It's not dome pu'ula at all. Right? Here it's about squeezing out. There it's about breaking off a shell from a husk, a shell from of a kernel. Is it similar betachlis? It's similar betachlis. It's extracting one thing from another. Okay, so it's a tolda. Says Rabbi Nachum Zemba, but wait a second. When you do a tolda for another reason, not because you want it, not because you're going to collect the juice, for some other reason you want to stop up the barrel, and we'll talk about kavan in a minute. But he says that's called a tolda. That's not itself a malacha, that's a tolda. So he says, Chazal said, toldoseim kayotz mehem, but not tolda to tolda. Only one tolda. You can't take it two steps removed. That's the chiddush of the Gaon, that Tzadik Rav Menachem Zemba Hashem Yikom Damo. So if you hold like Rav Shimon, which we didn't get into that machlokas yet, the Rambam would say it's mutter. Oh. So if Shechter wants
mutter
to...
Mutter or putter?
Mutter. It's putter either way, according to Rav Shimon. The chiddush is that if it's a tolda, then it's mutter.
But he still says it's a misadra bone, but you're saying that's not, it's also only because it looks bad.
I think he thinks that it's mutter. If you put it on the side of the barrel, the isra is going to be if you put it on the top of the barrel. Because then
when he said at the end that's only misadra bone, he was talking about the top of the barrel, not the side.
I believe so. So Rav Shechter gave a beautiful hesver for this Rav Nachum Zemba, and it's in that I think it's in that article that he published in the Eretz Tzvi. I forget one of the articles, but I heard it from him. It's a tremendous pshat. He says like this: we started with the Hagdar of the Kalkelos Shabbos of Pu'ula and Tachlis, right? And we said that if something is not Dome bePu'ula, then it's called a Tolda. He says that's also true if it's not Dome, in a certain sense, not Dome bTachlis. That also makes it a Tolda. And we'll see a little more of what that means. But he says, wait a second. Chazal said that toldoseim kayotzi bahem, that is, if you have at least one similarity, if you have similar betachlis or bepu'ula. But what happens here? I'm doing a tolda of schita. So what do I have? What do I lack? What do I have? I have doma betachlis, right? But I'm not doma bepu'ula. But when I do the schita, and I don't want the water, I don't want what I'm extracting, I'm not collecting, I'm just doing it for some other reason. Now, it's not doma betachlis or bepu'ula. So if you assume that malacha she'in tzricha legufa, which we'll talk about in a little bit, is already pater, it's actually, it's a mutter, pater and mutter, perhaps, it, We paskin that it's pater avalaser, melacha shein tzricha l'gufa. But the fact that it's pater means that mina Torah, you downgraded it. It's only an issa drabanan. Now I'm going to say there's no issa drabanan because it has absolutely no connection to the original av. So this would be, Rav Shechter says, and this is a diyun in the achronim to be, and this is what Rav Menachem Zema is coming to be yashiv, in achanami, there is a nafkamina between something is av and a tolda. If it's ain't tzricha l'gufa, if it's lacking the proper kavana, which we'll talk about more in a little bit. But the idea is that if it's an av, at least it's domeh. If it's domeh in one of the ways, it's domeh bepeula.
Then you have the question why that was originally.
Oh, exactly, and that's what is the tumult in Achronim. That's the go back and forth. That's where Menachem Zema is coming to be miyashiv. There's the quotes in av neizer. There's a whole tumult why it doesn't appear in the Gemara. Hi.
Hi. If we're according to Rav Shechter, if you take that new tolda and then the tolda to tolda, and it was dome the tachas benap peula, right? So that you meaning you kept the original av's tachas, but you moved one step further because it's the tolda of the new tolda. Would that become mutter as well, or would that remain aser?
But then it's still
oh, that's it, right.
It's still a tolda. Exactly. Then it's still a tolda. That's how he's masbir what
definition.
Exactly. That's what he's masbir of Menachem Zema meant as there's no such thing as a tolda to tolda. He says there's no similarity anymore, not betachas and not betaula, and it becomes mutter. Exactly. And that's why it's mutter. That's why he connects it to kvashim shesachdan legufan, which is mutter, lechatchila, the Gemara says, to squeeze out that. Others disagree with this. Other achronim say, no, it's because it's not a malacha at all, and it's not because of the tolda. But this is the Rav Menachem Zema being miyashiv, the achronim, who want to explain that that's the pshat in the Ran, that there's no such thing as a din, ain't tzricha legufan, a tolda. Okay? So that would be an awesome, awesome nafkamina. Okay, so we just alluded. So, any questions about Avos and Toldos, so we can move on? Okay, great. So we just alluded to the fact that Kavana is going to play an important role. And what I'd like to just summarize or share a little overview in the next little while, the next half of the Chabura, is the principle of Meleches Machsheves. Meleches Machsheves, which is a unique component of Shabbos, this is going to have many ramifications in Halacha. We alluded to one concept right now about Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, but I would identify, there are probably more, I would identify five different areas which are going to be a manifestation and a result of the principle of Meleches Machsheves. Mekalkel, Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, Davar Sheinu V'Skaven, Misasek, and Shinui. Those are the five areas, maybe there are more, but those are the five areas that I came up with that are a direct result, that are unique in Hilchos Shabbos because of the principle of Meleches Machsheves. Where does Meleches Machsheves appear in Hilchos Shabbos? Where does it appear in the context of Shabbos? Nowhere, of course. Where does it appear? In the Mishkan. Right? So the Gemara in Chagiga, Dav Yud, and going over to Yoram Ed Beis, says that, oh, we learn Meleches Machsheves. It's not so easy to find it. You find it in the Mishkan, La'asos b'chol Meleches Machsheves. So that's going to be the makar that also in Hilchos Shabbos you require Meleches Machsheves.
Shemayim should also be included.
Ah, great question.
Maybe the Shemayim, maybe.
Right. There it's a chesaron that one person didn't do the whole melacha. What would happen if there was a melacha?
I'm sure there were
melachot
in the Mishkan which were done with two people. There must be some melachot which would have needed.
It's
Xeris Akosim, Ha'osa is school of Lois and Mitzasa.
Fine, but then it's not melacha.
I can't think of a single melacha that needed two people, except for...
Hatzor
didn't necessarily need it. Only the putting up and putting down. But there, the person who's on the receiving end isn't necessarily doing a malacha at all. Right? If the person who's receiving it, so he did nothing, he's just a receptacle. It would be an achanami. It is pater if the person who's on the receiving end takes it out of the hand of the person who's dropping it. But beikaron, it's really one person who's doing it. The receiving end is just the hand. Except... Okay, So let's start with the Mekalkel. The Rashi points out Sanhedrin at the Pei Dalan Amud Beis, which I'll come back to in a little bit, that Mekalkel is Pater on Shabbos. Why? This is simply the first definition of Melechus Machshavas. It has to be creative work. It has to be work that has intention. You know, so if it's destructive, so it's not Melechus Machshavas. The building in the Mishkan was for the purpose of creativity. So that's the first principle. Any Melacha that's Melechus Kilkol is going to be Pater. Now, in Achanami, the Gemara on the Daf Kuv Vav Amud Aleph, which used to be the topic for the Bechina for Reeds back in the day, has a discussion about Melechus Kilkol, and it presents a Machlokas Reb Yudah Reb Shimon about the Hagdara of Melechus Kilkol and how it relates to Chov El Mavir. So that's it's a good question, whether or not this Machlokas about the Melechus Kilkol, what are the parameters of Melechus Kilkol, how it relates to other Machlokas, that's subject to a big Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos here. But just in principle, the concept that it has to be a Melechus Tikkun in general and not a Melechus Kilkol, that is one derivative of Melechus Machshavas. That's number one. Number two, the next derivative of Melechus Machshavas, so that's the well-known discussion that we alluded to of Melacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa, which literally is translated as an activity that is not used for its sake. So I don't know what that means. What are cases of Melacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa? So the Gemara earlier had an example of a Melacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa. Hamechabe es haner, somebody who extinguishes a candle. And why did they extinguish the candle? Because there were Nachrim or Listin or Ruach Ra, he's Pater. And the Gemara says on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis that the simple explanation for that is we follow Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is the one who holds Melacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa is Pater. Melacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa is not in violation of the din, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is machay of a malach shein tzricha l'gufa. Okay.
Does Rabbi Yehuda not hold malach
machsheves? Oh, so beautiful. Does Rabbi Yehuda not hold malach machsheves? He holds a malach machsheves, but he doesn't think this is a chisar on a malach machsheves to the full degree. What does he say? And this is what we alluded to before. Rav Shechter assumes that even Rabbi Yehuda will be modeh that a Melacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa is still only a Toldah. It's not an Av. It's not exactly the same.
Rabbi Shimon.
Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says it's Pater Midaraisa. But even Rabbi Yehuda will agree. What's the Nachmina of this?
This is what Shapur says.
Well, he doesn't say this. That was his Hesber in Rabbi Nachum Zemba, but it fits because this is subject to a machlokas rishonim, but Tosfos on Mem Aleph Amud Beis here he's discussing Davar Shein HaMiskavein, but as we'll soon see, the same principle will apply in both cases. Tosfos holds that there is a difference. Well, I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but you know, let me come back to that in a minute. I'll come back to that in a minute. Tos is about Dovrashin of Scott. Let's come back to that in a minute. But either way, so this is one example of a Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. You are extinguishing the flame, you're doing the Malach of Mechabe, but you're for doing it some other external reason. Similarly, we had the case the Gemara in Chagika was talking about is Chofer Guma Ve'in Tzarech El Alafara. You dig a hole. Why do you generally dig holes? To plant something, so that's malacha of choresh. If you do a choresh in a field, that's digging a hole, that's malacha of choresh. Great. Chofer guma. Where else could you be going chofer guma if you have a dirt house? In your house. You may be building. So, it might be malachas bonem. But generally, you don't do it to collect dirt. You want to collect dirt, you go find a dirt storehouse and you pick up some dirt. You don't go digging holes around your house. So that's not for the normal way. Oh, so we'll have to figure out exactly how to be magda that. But one other case is the Gemara, which is going to be the source of our machlokas. The Gemara in Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis of Moses HaMeis Lakovro. Person has a mace in their home and he takes it out. So the Gemara says Reb Shimon is poter in that case. Again, it's Shitas Reb Shimon about Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So how do you precisely define Ein Tzricha L'Gufa? The fact that you don't want this Malacha. So this was a great controversy between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, he discusses it there in Chagiga and also here in Shabbos Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. Rashi says, it's a malach shein tzricha l'gufa because it's l'sal kome olav. Because de bertsono lo bolo, he wasn't interested in having it in the first place. Tosus disagrees with it. He asks on him in the Tosus in Chagiga, and then he has a much longer Tosus here in Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph, and the Ri says that's not what Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is. Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Kishaosa Malacha Ve'ein Tzorech La'osa Tzorech Ke'ein Shayu Tzricha La'a B'Mishkan Ela La'ian Acher. He had Tzorech Shayosa Malacha Nasis B'Shvila B'Mishkan Hu Guf HaMalacha V'Sharsho. What's that? Exactly, that would be a toldo because it's doma bepu'ula below betachlis. That's why it would make sense that it should be considered a toldo. Except that, so that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Reb Shimon says, no, it's a chasarna malechas machsheves, and therefore it's even downgraded further. But anachanami, lechura Rabbi Yehuda would say it's only a toldo. Reb Shimon's chiddush is that there's a new concept, that's called malechas machsheves. And malechas machsheves says that if you don't do it, ke'in shayi b'mishkan, then it gets downgraded even further. So, Tosfos has several kashas on Rashi of Britzono Lo Balo. He has kashas from Psila and Soser. So, there is a sefer called Magine Shlomo. I'm not mistaken. I think it was the grandfather of the Pnei Yoshua. I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think it was the grandfather of Pnei Yoshua. I'll check one second. Rav Yoshua Mikrakow. I think it was. I don't know. So he comes to defend Rashi and explain Rashi. So he says, let me tell you what is the explanation of Rashi. The Rashba also follows Shitas Rashi. The Rashba says that... also, it depends on what your motivation is. He says the following. Lanias Daiti, based on what Rashi says on Daf Kovav about Mapis Murtz Lehotzman Alecha, it's Pater. The Kol Dover Shu Osek de la Salik Hadover Hamaziko. Umiyad Shinestalik Hamazik Lo Ichpasle im Yachzo Lekad Muso. Mikre ein tzricha legufo. Avalim nistalik hamazik v'hamalacha nichle adayin afal gav debritzono lobalo mitchilo mikamakom kevan da'ata ein kan davar hamaziko v'afilo hachi nichle malacha zu mikre tzricha legufo. I come home and there on the counter is a piece of raw chicken. Shvachamaisis. I thought someone was going to cook that chicken for me, Lamaisa. But to no avail. So I cook the chicken. Let's say, now I finish cooking the chicken, I have a delicious piece of chicken. It's not that the chicken was annoying me. It wasn't annoying me. If it was chozer lekad muso, if it was going back to the way it was,
you would cook that again.
I would cook it again. It's nichalei malacha zu. I took away the old chicken. It's not bothering me. There's nothing wrong with it. But I want to do this. So even though the scenario that brought me here, I was not happy about that. But the result, I'm happy about the result that was done here.
But it's two separate things. Removing the chicken and cooking it are not the same nice.
100%. I'm just giving it the bederach mashal. In the case of the what's that?
Yeah, he means the cooking.
I mean the cooking.
Meaning
the raw chicken. I'm interested in.
Your goal is not to have the chicken.
No, in Achanami, then it's a malach shein tzricha legufa.
So,
because the fact that it's cooked is only incidental, but that's not true. I want cooked chicken. That's the difference. What do I want at the end of the day? In the case of the mace, I don't want the mace in the street or in the grave. I just want
out of the house.
So the result doesn't get me, you know, if I could achieve that result without doing this malacha, you know, that's fine. As opposed to in this case, I want to do this melacha because I want cooked chicken. That's essentially how the Magine Shlomo, Rabbi Shulam in Krakow, is miyashiv this, and the Pnei Yeshua is mitzayin him, and also other places. Pnei Yeshua raises this issue in a couple of places, but that's how he's miyashiv it. So anytime, as he says, that once you're misalik the mazik, you don't mind if the result was undone. If you don't mind if the malacha was undone, then that's called ein tzricha legufo. If I cook the chicken and then I said poof, it became raw again, I'd be like, what the heck? I want it to be cooked. So then obviously it wasn't just about being masalic raw chicken, it's about doing the malacha. I squeeze a pimple on Shabbos, so the Gemara says, if it's lasus la peh, so then you're chayav. If it's lahotzi lecha, you're not chayav. So what's the difference? So that's what he says. If I'm squeezing the pimple and when it's finished, I want there to be an empty space. I want it to be an aperture so the air can come in and, you know, give it healing capacity. So if I undid that malacha, if I undid the opening of the hole, so I'd be very unhappy because now it's not going to be good. As opposed to in the case of the lecha, I just want the lecha out. If the thing closed up, if I hadn't opened it up and I somehow was able to zip away the, I wouldn't be happy at all. That is the way he's magdir the difference between tzrich legufa and ein tzrich legufa for Shitas Rashi. Yes.
No, so you just, if you divide the concept of av as a pool and tachlis.
Yes.
So what's Megine Shlomo saying that I care about the pool, but I completely don't care about the result. If we talk in the case of the maize.
So he's saying that the tachlis that you have has to be for the purpose of accomplishing what the malacha is going to accomplish in and of itself. You have to have the maisa, you have to have the pulut, that's not up for discussion here. But the tachlis, Tosfos says, your tachlis has to fit the exact tachlis what it was in the Mishkan. So then Tosfos is bothered by Akasha. Wait a second, in the Mishkan, when they took out things to be motzi them, they were used as building materials. They were the subject, not just they were doing an action. They became then made into something. So Tosfos has Akasha. Well, if that's the case, why isn't it true that every time I take a sefer out, I'm only chayav if I fix the sefer in Rosh Hashanah? So he says, well, you know, you have to get out of it. It doesn't have to be so similar. He's matzik, he answers. But he has that question because he's rooted in what it was in the Mishkan. Rashi says, no. Says the Megineh Shlomo, it depends. If your kavana was for the purpose because you want to do this malacha, because the accomplishment of the malacha is what you're looking for, then you're going to be chayav. If the reason that you're doing the malacha is not for the stated purpose of the malacha generally, it's for some exterior purpose. And if you could have gotten away with that accomplishment without doing the malacha, you could just reverse the action, then that's called ein tzrich legufa. Make sense?
Yeah.
Make sense? Okay. Okay. That's observation number two, concept number two. Concept number three, which is not unique to Shabbos, but as we'll see, because of Malachas Machshavas, it is relevant for Shabbos, is called Davar She'enu Miskavein. Davar She'enu Miskavein is what we would call the unintended consequence. The Gemara has a machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda about a case of gorer. I'm dragging a bench, I'm pushing a stroller over the grass. I'm walking, let's say, from here over to Kedzi, and I'm walking on the grass with something I'm cutting through. I don't know if it's permitted. Let's say I lived in Winston Towers, so they weren't makbid for me to use it as like a little cut through. In Winston Towers, I'm going through the grass, and as I'm doing that, accidentally, my foot is tolesh some of the grass, or my foot, the stroller causes a ditch. So I didn't intend to make a ditch. So first off, it's important to know there's a big distinction between Ein Tzricha Legufa initially and Davar She'enu Miskavein. What's the difference? How do you know whether something is Davar She'enu Miskavein or Melacha She'en Tzricha Legufa?
Ask the man what he's doing.
That's it. In the case of Ein Tzricha Legufa, it's a Melacha She'en Tzricha Legufa. I ask you what you're doing. You say, I'm digging a hole. You know digging is a Melacha. You're digging a hole. Why are you doing it? Oh, I have my own Mishigasin. You know, I'm digging a hole because my physical therapist told me I need to dig holes to get my back in shape. You know, whatever. In the case of Davar She'enu Miskavein, when I see you walking on Shabbos, I say, oh, good Shabbos, what are you doing? What do you say? I'm walking. You don't say I'm digging. You say I'm walking. So this distinction exists not just in Shabbos. It exists in Kol Torah Kula. It exists. The Gabe, the Gemara has a discussion about Levi Mishnah in Kilayim. Person is wearing or carrying. It's a big discussion whether he's halah, whether he has kilayim on his back. He's wearing it or he's just holding it on his back. But the question is, is that levishas or halahs kilayim or not? The Gemara says, oh, it depends on whether it's malach davar sheinu miskaving, not davar sheinu miskaving. Similarly, the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Peidal and Midbeis has discussion. It's a shayla halacha lemaisa for doctors or dentists whether they're allowed to work on parents, because you ask a dentist, what are they doing? They'll tell you they're drilling teeth. I know this. I've seen a dentist. They're drilling teeth. They're not going to tell you they're chovel. You know, the person there is like gushing blood and this like fire burning in their mouth. You know, the whole thing going on. Yes, the dentist, they say, I'm drilling teeth. They don't say I'm being chovel in the person. I mean, the patients might say you're being chovel in the person. Well, I go to the dentist for chavola. But the dentist says, you go to the dentist for getting drilled. So that's davar sheinu miskaven. So the Gemara discusses davar sheinu miskaven as opposed in cases of, let's say, the original case in the Gemara was about working on a parent. But it's also true for hakah b'chalal. Let's say, any surgeon, I'm going to pull out your splinter. So I pull out your splinter, maybe I'll cause you to bleed. Maybe I'll give you I'll violate the Yisr of Lo Yosef Pen Yosef. So I'll violate Hakah. So the Gemara distinction between Kalos and Chamuras, which is the subject of Rav Shechter's article there. But by the by, he gets in talk about Davar Sheinu Miskaven. However, there's a big difference between Davar Sheinu Miskaven in Kol Torah Kula and Davar Sheinu Miskaven in Shabbos. What's that? Davar Sheinu Miskaven in Kol Torah Kula says, you know, Rabbi Shimon says, you can't tell me that I'm violating the Isser of Makeh Aviv Imo if what I'm doing is drilling teeth. Masher Ein Kein, on Shabbos, it's not just that I'm downgraded because I'm not doing it. On Shabbos, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's not an Isser Daraisa. Why not? Because it's lacking Melechas Machsheves. I'm not even intending to do the malacha. It's totally downgraded. Now, this is subject to a machlokas Rishonim, but this is the opinion of Tosfos in Mem Aleph Amud Beis about Mecham. It's the subject to machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it's not an Isser, it's mutter, not just potter, it's mutter, Davar Sheinu Miskaven, because I'm not doing malacha at all. I'm not trying to hurt my parents. I'm not the kavana for a makeh aviv imo. I'm drilling. So Tosus here is discussing Mecham. Here the discussion comes up in Yuma if the Kohen Gadol was sensitive, if he was elderly. So how many people here want to volunteer on a nice, cool, Yerushalmi fall day to jump in an ice-cold mikveh five times? You know, especially if it's like dawn. Like before dawn, I'll throw you in a mikveh before dawn with no heating. How many people wanted to volunteer for that? So the Gemara Yuma says, if they had Rachmanos on the Kohen Gadol, if he was older, or if he was sensitive, so they would take bricks of Ashashil Shel Barzel, bricks of steel or iron, and they would throw it into the mikveh, hot bricks, hot metal, and throw it into the mikveh, and that would cause the temperature to go up a little bit in the mikveh so the poor guy wouldn't freeze to death. Fine. So the Gemara has a discussion, wait a second, when you throw the hot metal in there, and then it comes into clash, so it's a mitzareif. So, by the way, so Tosfos has a whole arichas about this. But Tosfos' yesod is that in a chanami, when it comes to Kol Torah Kula, Rabbi Yehuda insists that Davar Sheinu Miskaven is an Issa Daraisa, but not on Shabbos. So Tosfos here says, why does the Gemara say that it's only Tzirif Midi Rabbanan? So Tosfos says, halfway down the Tosfos, it's a long Tosfos. V'lo also le Rabbi Yehuda davar sheinu miskaven ela midrabanan. That's the Isser. So Rabbi Kiva Eger here has a tzion. Ken kasav Rashi lekamon, ayin lekamon. So many we shown him hold this way, that when it comes to Shabbos, the principle of Melechas Machsheves affects even Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So we said it, number one, it affects Rabbi Huda Shita and Ein Tzricha Lagufa that it becomes a tolda, that even though on Shabbos he's mechayev you, but we're considering it a tolda, therefore it's called Ein Tzricha Lagufa. If it's a tolda on a tolda, according to Rabbi Huda, it's going to be pater. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter, but according to Rabbi Huda, it's pater. And Davar Sheinu Miskavein is not an issa daraisa bechlal according to Rabbi Yehuda because it lacks meleches machsheves. Okay. Any questions, comments, or observations thus far?
Yeah, I didn't quite understand how the bridge was a Davar Sheinu Miskavein.
Because why am I throwing the hot metal into the water?
To warm up the water.
To warm up the water, not to forge the metal in any way.
Oh, I didn't realize that was the melacha.
That was the melacha. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, once we're talking about Davar Sheinu Miskavein, I'll just mention two ha'aros that are important. So, first of all, we paskin like Rav Shimon in both cases, that Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Pater, and Davar Sheinu Miskavein is Mutter. The Rambam doesn't paskin that way exactly, but we're not talking about the Rambam for right now.
You can't do Eino Miskavein B'Chavana. What I mean is, if you know for sure walking on the grass.
Oh, well, it's perfect. Perfect segue. Okay. So far, we've talked about a case of a Davar Sheinu Miskavein. I'm no intention of... You ask me, I'm walking. Okay. I'm walking. That's different, we said, that than a Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, because the case of Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, I'm intending to do the Melacha. I'm acknowledging that I'm doing the Melacha. What happens, this is the classic case in the Gemara, of you have a chicken, and the chicken obviously is going to be the best kind of toy that you could find for your child. It's certainly one of the more entertaining toys that you'll find. But what was even more fun than having a live chicken is having the head of a chicken. If you're a kid, exactly, you know, you can go around, you can have a little puppet, you can have a great time. You know, I never had this growing up, but maybe back in the day, I don't know if back in the day they played with the chicken heads.
Yeah.
Awesome. So here's what I'm going to do. You ask me what I'm doing, I say I'm going to Toys R Us for a toy. So how do I do that? I go cut off the head of the chicken. So the Gemara says, "Psik reish v'lo yamos." Am I not obviously going to violate the malacha of shochet? How else am I going to get the head of the chicken? So this is what we call a psik reish. Now, sometimes you can have a psik reishe that you're interested in, and sometimes you can have a psik reishe that you're not interested in. The first kind is called a psik reishe denichale, and the second kind is called a psik reishe delonichale. But in terms of understanding what is the nature of psik reishe, so this may play a role in how we go about understanding the psak. Why is it? Why do you think it is that a psik reishe, the Gemara says, motor abshib psik reishe? Reb Shimon agrees, if I'm walking around if I'm walking on soft earth, and I'm walking in cleats with hooks on them, avada, I'm going to violate the malachas. No question about it. I'm going to be tolesh or choresh, whatever I'm for sure going to do. Why is Reb Shimon mode in that case? What about psik reisha makes it a malacha? Any thoughts? Oh, that's one mahalach. You could say, yes, I was miskavi. Yes, I was. Don't tell me I wasn't miskaving to it. If I know it's going to happen, by definition, I'm called miskaving. The
you
other.
I'm aware of it, or I want it.
I intend to do it.
I was aware, but I didn't want that.
I intended. That's my intent. And therefore, it's almost definitional. That's one way to look at it.
Surely, in the example of the chicken.
Yes.
It's secretion.
Yep.
He actually had kvara. Kill the chicken because he knew it was going to happen. If it's a kfir, it's definitely going to happen.
But if you ask me, if you ask the guy, he's really not even. He of course he's aware that, you know, cutting off the head will kill the chicken. But that's not really his kavana. So you're saying, Yosef, yes, it is his kavana, because if he knows it's going to happen for sure, that's keilu. He's miskavein, and therefore, when you ask him what you're doing halachically, you are doing shochet. The other way to say it is no. That's not what he's doing at all. Rather, your kavana, you want to live in your own world and say your kavana is for getting a toy for your kid, that's totally fine. You can say you're getting a toy for your kid. But it's, by definition, it's called chad maisa. You might not have kavana for it, but al pidin, that's chad maisa. That's one maisa. Who presents this beautiful chakira? Rebbe Elchanan, cited in the Kovetz Shurim. Kovetz Shurim, also a work of the Talmidim of Rebbe Elchanan, not Rebbe Elchanan himself. Rebbe Elchanan was massacred at the 9th fort in Lithuania by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam Zichram. So Rebbe Elchanan presents these two positions, how to understand the din of psikresha. Well, one nafkamina of this chakira might be what we call psikresha delo nichalei. We mentioned before, you can either have an interest, like you shech the chicken, and therefore when it's done, you're going to eat it, or I don't want to. What do I want a dead chicken in my house for? It's lo nichalei. So Tosfos on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph has a machlokas with the Aruch. Tosfos and the Bala Aruch dispute what happens in a case of psik resha de lo nichalei. So Tosfos says that's Aser midrabanan, and the Aruch says it's muta lechatchila. So perhaps one could suggest, says Rebbe Elchanan, that maybe, I think Rebbe Elchanan is the one who makes this to shtel, or many others do, maybe this is gufa the machlokas. Maybe the Aruch says that when I do a psik resha, it means I'm ki'ilu miskave to that thing over there. But if beferish, I'm not nichale in that, you can't tell me that I have kavana for it. Memela, it's going to be mutter. Versus Tosfos, Tosfos says it's not ki'ilu that I'm miskaven, it's chad maisa. So if it's chad maisa, midrabana, it's still going to be a problem. That's one way of viewing it.
But why is it only midrabana?
Meaning?
If it's chad maisa, then I have kavana for this action. But it's not that miskaven at all.
So you have to say that the fact that I was not miskaving for it downgrades it in Shabbos from D'oraisa D'rabbanan. It's still lacking Melechas Machsheves. You have to say that. And the Chiddush Reb Shimon is even a Kol Torah Kula. You would say, no. I have to think about that some more. I have to double check that. Another nafkamina of this, it's a good psik resha lo nichalei in Kol Torah Kula. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember off the top of my head. Another nafkamina of this would be a psik resha de lo nichalei on an issa d'rabbanan. What's the din in such a case? So, Rav Avadia, in several of his tshuvas, he quotes a big machlokas in Achronim. He has in Chelek Beis and Simen Mem Vav and other places. So he quotes that even though the Mogen Avram thinks it's a problem, but he quotes in the Trumas Hadeshin that even though generally we paskin like Tosfos that a psik resha de lo nichalei is aser midrabanan, when it's an issa d'rabanan, it's not a problem. The question is, why not? Why shouldn't it be a problem?
Because an issa d'rabanan d'oraisa, someone gets to d'rabanan, it's
mutter. Right, so the question is why? Just because it's a trade d'rabanan, it's not really a trade d'rabanan. It's like two d'rabanans built on each other. So why should you say that it's mutter? So Rabbi Willig discusses this at length in the Sefer Am Mordechai on Shabbos. He has a whole discussion about psik resha. So this might be one of the nafkaminas. Wait a second. What's the whole reason we say that there's an issa d'rabanan? It's not that the rabbanan have the ability to create an issa in the cheftza. When the rabbanan say, don't eat, you know, shuman hagid, the outside of the geran asha, they can't transform that cheftza into a cheftza ho'asura. They could tell you don't eat it, it's a din in the gavra. Rav Shachter used to say, it's a merit. Who did he quote this from? I forget. Rav Shachter used to say this name of Achronim. The Isser Drabanan is only an Isser in the gavra that you shouldn't be moreed in the Drabanan. That's what it is, it's the Nesivus, that it's a merit. So maybe this is the shorish of this inyan, that wait a second, if the whole thing is whether it's chad maisa or if it's ke'ilu miskavein, so if you say that it's ke'ilu miskavein, but if you're saying it's lo nichale, I'm not interested in it, the whole thing was only an issa d'rabbanan to begin with. And an issa d'rabbanan is only an issa if you're trying to shtach the rabbis and say, I don't care. But it's lo nichale. Memela, you could say that an issa d'rabbanan, that doesn't apply. Versus if it's chad maisa, maybe the Magen Avraham will say, yeah, it's you're right, it's still chad maisa, and therefore midrabbanan, it's called chad maisa. And even though it's only an issa d'rabbanan, midrabbanan, they call it chad maisa. That would be the second, another potential nafkamina of this question. A third nafkamina, this I heard from Rabbi Willig a long time ago, and I don't know if it is written up somewhere. Another nafkamina of this might be, this was in his shiur on contemporary halacha about electric lights that are activated by a sensor. So very often I'm walking down the street and it kicks on the light, so it's a psik ratio. It's lo nichale generally. Generally, for me, the walker, it's lo nichale for me. Even if for the homeowner, it's lo nichale, it's nichale, but for me, it's always not nichale. I'm happy to walk in the street where it's dark. I have absolutely no interest in kicking that guy's lights on. So what are you going to say? So maybe you could say, look, it's a psik ratio to lo nichale. So Tosa says it's also midrabbanan. But maybe that will depend. If you say that it's psik ratio lo nichale, that that generally the concept of psik ratio has to do with chad maisa, maybe you can't say that it's chad maisa if I'm over here and the malacha is happening over there. This is part of a bigger story which we don't have time to talk about today, having to do with grama, where there is a Rashba quoted by the Shulchan Giborim that if you slam the door of the house and it turns out that there is a deer trapped in the house, the Rashba says it's mutar lechatchila to close the door in the house. Why? Because you're closing the door over the house over here, and the deer is getting trapped over there, and it's a grama, it's not really connected, it's taking place in two different places. So Rabbi Willig, if I'm not mistaken, I'm remembering this from a long time, but I think he introduced this whole question of psik resha, the lo nichale, as chad maisa. Well, can you really say something as chad maisa if it's taking place in two different locations? Allah, the Rashba, about gram tzeda taking place at the front door when the animal is going to be nitzot somewhere else over a period of time. So that might be another connection. Hi.
With regards to electric lights,
no, I'm assuming it's an issu d'oraisa, but it's psik resha d'lo nichale. So if it's no nichale, Tosa says it's only drabanan.
Right. So, but even Tosa says that,
you're right. If it's an LED light, which is midrabanan, so then Rav Avadya says many achronim follow that truma sadeshen that psik reshid lo nichalein is drabanan. It's okay. Says nafkaminas for hotel doors and stuff like that. But Rabbi Samlovsky, I heard, said apparently that even the regular incandescent bulbs, which I always thought run on gas, so they're not a problem, apparently they have like an initial ignition.
The fluorescent bulbs.
Eitam is telling us that. So there may be an issa d'oraisa involved even in fluorescent bulbs. Obviously, Rav Chaim Oser was makbid to make havdalah on incandescent bulbs. Why? Because he wanted to show everybody that electricity is eish mamish. The filament, the burning filament, that's the equivalent of eish mamish. Fluorescent, it's just gas molecules dancing around. However, I don't know what that means. Somehow it makes light because gas molecules dance around. Whatever that is. So the bottom line is, even if that is derabbanan, apparently, Samlovsky said that somehow the circuitry, when you kick it on, that might be a bone, makaba patish, havara, spark. I don't know. But I always thought that was only derabbanan. Okay. Yeah, I want to kind of cruise through so we can finish just before the mincha. So we have Davar Sheinu Miskavein, we have Psik Reisha de Nichale and de Lo Nichale, we have the difference between Rabbi Chanan's Chad Maisa versus Ikeilu Miskavein, and then there's one more, like a fancy, beautiful Lom de Sha'ar that Rabbi Rillig likes to quote, which he quotes from earlier from the Marcheshes. We now have a trifecta of great Gaonim who were murdered by the Nazis in Machshama V'Zichram, and that was Rav Henoch Agis, who was essentially the right-hand man of Rav Chaim Ozer in Vilna, who wrote a two-volume work called Marcheshes. So he has his Ha'ara, what Rabbi Willett calls the super psik resha. What? Super psik resha. Because the Gemara here is discussing a person who is, what's the guy doing? He is Tolesh Olshin. He's plucking weeds and stuff. So the Gemara says, what's his purpose? His purpose is to collect for an animal. It's a psik resha that he's going to be miyap at the karka. He says, no, it's ba'ar dechavre. It's in somebody else's house. Somebody else's yard. So it's psik resha licha. I don't care to help somebody else's yard. I'm only interested in my grass. Okay. And similarly, the Gemara has a similar case about miyot anoviv mahadas, plucking the berries off of a hadas. And the Gemara says, no, it's no problem. It's not real. I'm not really nichale isle hoshan achrita. Have another hadas. And the Gemara has also a similar case in Zvachim about sprinkling mizalfin yain al gabim mizbeach. I'm going really fast here, but it's just an amazing idea. The Rambam doesn't quote any of these ukimtas. The Gemara has about spilling the, how can you spill wine on the ma'aracha? You're going to extinguish it, and there's the nisa daraisa to extinguish the ish on the ma'aracha, even a little bit. So the Gemara says, no, betipin dakin. Little drops that are going to evaporate before they extinguish the coals. The problem is the Rambam doesn't quote any of these things. So, this, but it's an interesting svar to keep in mind, la halacha, says the Marcheshes, that's also a psik resha, that's not considered that's lo nichale. Wow. Meaning, even if you don't have one of those categories, since it's possible to do it in a way that's lo nichale, you can also not consider a psik resha anyway. If I have a hadas and I'm picking off the berries, I'm fixing the hadas. Doesn't matter, because if I had another hadas, it wouldn't be a psikration lichale, it'd be called lo nichale. Ayin sham, awesome chiddush, super psikresha of the marcheshes. Rabbi Willig likes that. So now we talked about mekalkel, ain tzrich lagufa, dover shene biskaven, and the final two, which are mesasek and shinui. So mesasek. There is a Gemara in Krisus and Daf Yud Tesamid Beis that discusses the din of misasik. Misasik means completely unintended. I didn't have any consciousness, I didn't have any awareness that I was even transgressing this malacha. So what's the case? Niskavin lahagbias atolosh v'chotach asamachubar. I see on the floor a flower. I think, oh, that's a nice, pretty flower. And if it's a flower, I could put it on my table on Shabbos. It's not muktzah. You know what, we'll pause it here, we'll reconvene after Mincha.
We have to have people announce breakfast alert.
Okay, so we're about to discuss misasig. So misasig is you have no intention of doing this pa'ula at all. You know, a person wakes up in the middle of the night, walks into the bathroom, and just by habit, flicks on the light switch. That's misasig. So, what's that?
Sorry about the problem.
Yes? Yes.
Really?
Okay. Okay. All right. That's I can believe that. Halachic man. Anyway, so the Gemara says in Krisus on the Yud Tes Amud Beis that there's a machlokas about misasig. And the Gemara derives it from a pasuk, Asher Chotaba. Problem is sasik. So what's the misasik? Say if it's chalam varayis or chayiv because you're nene. So if it's b'shabes, potter my time, maleches mak sheves. The Gemara says, okay. Rather, l'rav mishkachas lo kagon shidiskavin lachtoch esatolosh v'chotach esam b'mechubar. L'abai mishkachas lo kagon l'agbi esatolosh v'chot esam b'mechubar. And then it goes on to the idma. So what is the case of misasik? What I tell you, the case of misasik is where you intended, according to Rava, you intended to, you saw a flower. You intended to pick it up. Did you intend to cut it? No, you thought it was detached. And it turns out that it was attached. That's called misasik.
What was if you plan to...
That's Abaye. According to Rava, excuse me, just one second, niskaving lachtoch es hatolosh v'chotach es mechubar, that's misasik. You intended to cut, but what was I going to cut? I was going to cut something that was tolosh, not the violent malacha of tolosh. I was going to do a maisa chaticha, but I didn't intend to do a malacha. That's called misasik. What's an afkamina between Abaye and Rava? According to Abaye, if I intended to cut, even though I didn't intend to cut an item that was mechubar, that's not mesasik anymore, because I was miskaving to a meleches chaticha. It's dafka meleches hagbah, an act of hagbah, not a meleches chaticha. And Rava says, no, as long as you were miskaving, you thought it was talush, then that's okay. So that's what the Gemara presents as the machlokas about. It's hard to say because obviously it's not mutal chatzchila, but meaning you violate a misasek and you have a ptur. You have a ptur misasek b'dievid.
Oh. So I guess what I'm really asking then is, was it sure as in during that context?
That's a great question. I think there's a dion in Rebbe Kiv Eger about whether a person who violates an isur ba'onis requires kapara. So probably
that's
be related.
In general.
Yeah. But just one second. So. Yeah, this is the same connection from before. Yeah.
If, I mean, this is maybe taking it one step further. If both were mechubar, and I had kavanah to cut that one and cut the other one.
So what would you say?
There is ma'aseh chaticha, but I didn't. It wasn't ma'aseh machshev because I did this one accidentally.
Oh, so you're mechav into shitas tosos. Tosos says that is the difference between mesasek and kol tarkula and mesasek and shas. Yes, there's a ptur in Misasek and Kol Tarkula. But what are the cases of ptur? Either according to Baye, I only had Hagbah, Kavana, or I had Kavana to cut something that was Tolish. According to Abaye and Rava, did I have Kavana to do a Malachas Shabbos, to violate Malachas Shabbos? No. But what if I had Kavana to do a Malachas Shabbos? So this is Shitas Tosfos. Tosfos in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Dima Maskel Mishum. No, not Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. I'll tell you where it is. Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Dima Maskel Niskavein. Where Tosfos says Zechidish. That is the difference. That when it comes to Shabbos, even if I had Kavanah to do Melech Shabbos, I had Kavanah to do the Maiseh of Kotzer. So who cares whether I was kotzer this blade of grass or that blade of grass? In Achanami says Tosus, in Kol Torakula, I don't care. In Kol Torakula, if I had kavana to violate this isser, and I did the isser, whether it was this piece of ham or that piece of ham, I violated the isser. It's not called misasik. The chiddush is that on Shabbos, the higher level of Melechus Machsheves tells me that not only do I have to have kavana to do this maisa, I have to have kavana to do the maisa in this chefta. So misasek is also an expression of something unique that when it comes to Melechus Machsheves. And the last of the concepts that we can talk about, there are probably more, you could probably think of more, but it's a big concept, but it's also part of this discussion, has to do with Shinui. So the Gemara tells us that it's on Daf Pei, it's Sadi, one second. Sari Beis Amud Aleph, Hamotzi Kilachar Yodo, Biraglo, Bifiv, Marpeko, Ba'ozo, Bisaro, all of those things are Patur Shalo Hotzi Kederech Hamotzian. So there is a concept called a Shinui. That's something that's Kilachar Yad. It's not Mutter, but it's Patur. It's also Midrabanan, but it's Patur. So this concept is a concept called Shinui that exists in other places in Shas. For example, the Gemara Psachim talks about Kol Isurim Shabbatorah Ein Lokan Aleim Ela Derech HaNa'asan, like Chelev and Shor Niskol. You're using it in an abnormal way, so it's not a problem. And similarly, the Gemara in Shavuos discusses a guy who walks into a Bayis Hamenuga backwards. Right? There is a din V'haboel HaBayis. Not just being in a bayis hamenuga transmits tumah, but also kol haboel habayis. What if a guy comes in backwards? So it says that's not derech bia. So those are things that are abnormal. However, the chelkas mechokik in Evan Ezra and Simon Kuf Chav Gimel says that if I write a get with my left hand, the get is kosher. So it's interesting because the Gemara says in Shabbos that when it comes to ksiva on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, Hakosiv B'Smolo, if somebody is a righty who writes with their left hand, then they're potter. The only time you're chayv with your left hand if you're ambidextrous. So what's the difference?
You got what you did Shabbos.
So what's the difference? Why is it? When is it that we apply a shinui in Hilchos Shabbos, and when is it we apply shinui in Kol Torah Kula? What do you mean? Okay. But neither is.
The jinn and the gavra that you have to write a get, no matter how you write, you have with the writing.
No, but it's v'chosav. It has to be lishma. Oh. The ma'isek siva has to be done lishma. So there is one yesod that comes up in the Beis Yosef that there's something called a giant shinui, and this comes up regarding a tochein that if you are doch pilpulin, if you use the kat of the sakina, it's mutter. The Beis Yosef says it's mutter because it's a giant shinui. That's giant?
Are you saying what in English?
Shinui gadol. The difficulty, though, is it's very hard to know how you magdir what is a shinui gadol. So there is an unbelievably phenomenal, fiddish, awesome vort from the Egle Tal. And this appears in Ofe in Mem Dalid Dalid. So the Egle Tal says, look, there are two different aspects of shinui. There's a shinui in the poel and a shinui in the nifal. There's a shinui in the manner in which it is done, and then there's a shinui in the result, what comes afterwards. You talked about this?
No, he had the same chiluk in a different area.
So, he points out that this is the difference, that when it comes to, let's say, called Isur and Shebet Torah. So, the shinui in the Eichas HaPoel, let's say when I write a get, writing a get, that's just the manner in which I wrote the get. But at the end of the day, the get is the same at the end. The product is the same. So, it's not enough of a shinui. The product is the same. The Cheftza comes out the same. Masher Enkein, when it comes to the din in Hilchos Shabbos, so Meleches Machsheves teaches you that there is a unique din of shinui, and that is that you can downgrade two steps. When you do something in a manner that is abnormal, if you carry it out with your left hand, so carrying it out with your left hand, that's a shinui be'echos hapoel. That's the manner which is being done, which is unusual. So that downgrades it now, because of Meleches Machsheves, and similar to a Kol Torah Kula, that it's pater aval aser. But if the shinui that you did has a shinui not just in the poel, but also in the nifal, then it becomes mutar l'gamri. And that's a schiddush that in the case of the grinding up the pepper, that by using the back of the knife, you have not just done it in an abnormal means by using the back of the knife, even the way that it's ground up, at the end of the day, there's a shinui in the eichos hanifal. And therefore, it's going to be mutar l'chatchila.
What's the shinui in the pepper?
That the way that it's ground different. It's the product, the end product. Either you could say it won't be as fine, it won't be uniform. It's very different, he says, than what would come out of a grinder.
How does that answer the question with the difference between the get?
So in the case of the get, the shinui is only in the eichos hapoel, and therefore the cheftza is the same.
Why does that matter, though?
It's going to be different as well.
What's that?
Most people with their left hands can't write as well.
So, in Akhanami, one might say,
when you write from the eraser to the rabbanan, right? So then, on a Torah level, that mice is not being done. Right?
But that's what we're saying, that's unique in Shabbos. Unique in Shabbos, okay. That it gets downgraded so because of Meleches Machsheves. So there is a din of shinui in Kol Torah Kula.
Okay.
But in shinui in Kol Torah Kula, you would need both. You need a shinui in Shinui be'echos hapoel and a shinui be'echos hanifal.
Only in Shabbos is shinui one enough to
exactly.
Get rid of the derisa.
And perhaps...
But the shinui in both on Shabbos is also relevant in the sense that then it will become mutar
l'gamri. Mutar l'chatchila, exactly. And that's how he can explain that in the case of the Isur and Shebet Torah and the Bi'al Abayis HaManuga, both of them are shinui be'echos hapoel and be'echos hanifal. Because the Isser is the Knisa, so the Knisa, the way that it's actually being manifest, is abnormal. So too, generally, Isur and Shebet Torah, I have my Chelev of the Shor HaNiskol, so then by smearing it on my arm, that's also an abnormal result. So it's an abnormal fashion and an abnormal result. but it's because it's Melechus Machsheves that it can be downgraded two levels. So to summarize, again, this is a long shtickel and egg tal, but just as my goal was a summary, we spoke initially about avos and toldos, where we learned them from different aspects of the Mishkan and the Chiluk Malachos, what defines something as an av. So it's tachlis and pu'ula, and therefore you can have multiple avos that have the same tachlis and the same pu'ula, just in different contexts, let's say zorea and notea, versus toldos, which are derivatives, and either they're going to be similar in the kavana but different in the pu'ula, same tachlis but different pu'ula. That's going to be the classic case of tolda, and the nafgamina between avos and toldos in terms of chatas, in terms of hasra, and maybe between malach shein tzricha l'guf for the concept of tolda to tolda. And then we spoke specifically about the concept of malachas machsheves. So the first group, I would say, are more on the machsheves side. So that would be the Mekalkel might be general. Melechus Machsheves has to be constructive, so that would be Mekalkel. And then you had Ein Tzrich L'Gufa, Davar Sheinu Miskaven, and Mesasek. Those are all dinim. Well, they're all dinim that are impacted by Melechus Machsheves. Melechus Ein Tzrich L'Gufa you only have on Shabbos, and Davar Sheinu Miskaven and Mesasek, they have unique components on Shabbos. And then the last one, Shinui, is not as much a dinim Machsheves as it is as Melechus. But one thing that I would just close with, just one kudah for thought, is that if all of Shabbos is built off of Zeichel Amasa Bereishis, so then the concept of having Meleches and Machsheves, that you need a din in the Pu'ula and you need a din in Kavana, so you can't have the Pu'ula Yidei Shinui, it has to be done normally, and the Kavana has to be for the original intent, maybe it's not so shocking to me that in Masa Bereishis you have both a Kavana and a Pu'ula. I don't want to say too much in Machshava because it's not 5:10 yet, but you could think about the fact that the Rabbeinu Shlomo says Yehi Or Vayehi Or. There's a kavana, there's kavana samalacha, and then there's the maisa samalacha. Each step of the way, you have both of those activities that creates perhaps the model for melechus machsheves that could be developed further in terms of halacha. That's what we have. Drosh v'kabel schar. Let's find it.
I make a short announcement.
Yes. Let's make a.